we go through this, and I don't think we'll be doing injustice to this scripture, but we'll really be finding some nuggets of truth in that, is one is I think it will show us how to be more like Jesus when we read through these seven verses. And then secondly, I think it'll show us a little bit about how to glorify God in the way that we live. And then it will give us some insight on how do we reach into the world that does not know Christ. How do we reach in with influence to really reach them? So we're going to look at that as we look at this husband and wife relationship. I think it will teach us a lot about other things other than just the relationship with husband and wife. So five different observations. First two is about the woman in a relationship, and then the next three is about man. But let's start off. The first observation is this. Wives, focus on winning your husband to Christ. That's what he's talking about here. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband so that, this is the reason, so that, even if some do not obey the word, in other words, they're not a follower of Christ, they may be won. So this was a challenge for women in that day had no voice. There was three cultures of influence in that day. One was the Jewish influence, and a woman in a Jewish culture was one that would have no testimony, no word, no authority whatsoever. They would not be a witness in court. They had no word or no power. Then in the Greek culture, that culture would just say, women, you're supposed to be at home and have kids and cook and all that, and that's it. Don't ever get outside the house. They were really pretty well bound. And then the Romans, hang on to this. In the Roman culture, the man had such power that he could have his wife killed or kids killed that quickly. And they had that power. So how are things going for you? Any of you feel badly about your culture? This is a culture in which we're speaking of here. So he says here, focus on winning. And how do you do that? What kind of power would you have? What kind of power would the woman have? What kind of power does any follower of Christ have? And he says here, be subject. Sounds kind of like a paradox, that really there would be power in being subject to somebody. I read a little article in the Gospel Project this week, and it says this. The Christian mission has always thrived by surging in the margins and under the radar. When somehow gets into the possession of power, the wheels always fall off. It's interesting that when things are really tough for believers in those cultures, that's when it would flourish the most. I've been talking to you a little bit about this in the days that we're studying this, of what persecution is around the world right now and how deeply the persecution is and how it's affecting our world. Do you know where there are more Christians on our planet than any other place in the world? Where would that be? It's in Africa. And if you keep up with the news at all in parts of Africa, you know the brutality. This is hard to conceive in our mind, I know, and I mentioned this before, that studies show that about every 5 to 7 minutes, there is a believer, a follower of Christ, that is killed because of their faith. About every 5 to 7 minutes. So things have not changed. In fact, they're even more so today than ever before. And so in this world, he says the way, and the interesting is that the gospel is expanding around the world. It really is, and it is under the radar. Asia is second in the largest congregation of believers in Asia. China is thought to be perhaps in the future, one of the greatest populations of Christianity. And all of these places are under the radar. And submit is the word for advancing the gospel. You never advance the gospel by force. You advance the gospel through a working of submitting. Jesus said it this way, you're to be light and salt in the world. Do you notice how the salt, when it goes into food, influences the taste of food? Try mashed potatoes without any salt. They're not good, you know. It's the salt that sort of brings out the flavor. And he said, we're to be that kind of salt. When we are, that's kind of influence of being subject in the world, or to be light in the world. You can't hide that light. You know, you can put your hand in front of the sun, but it doesn't make the light go out. It is there, being that kind of light. So he's talking to these people in the midst of persecution and tough times, and especially the women in that world. In fact, we've not been too good at that. When did women first get their right to vote in the United States? Not all that long ago, in the 1920s, it began to be that. So there's a long history here of women, but it is amazing the power of women in the world. And a lot of that is in this one word, is being subject. One of the ways that your work, wherever you work, you can make a tremendous influence by being one that is subject there. And we'll get into how you do that a little bit later on. The second thing I want you to look at is wives be truly beautiful. I love this part here. So don't get all ruffled up but I'm going to read it here. Do not let your adornment be external, the braiding of the hair. I've been checking this morning to see if there's anybody. The braid of the hair. What in the world does that mean? The braid of the hair and the putting on of gold jewelry. Any of you have gold jewelry on or fake jewelry, whatever it is, you know? Or on your clothing that you wear. You know, some of you may have a new dress on. And what does it mean here that do not let your adornment be external? But he goes on to clarify that. But let your adornment be hidden, the hidden person of the heart with, I love this, imperishable beauty. That gives me hope. Imperishable beauty. As you get older, you get more beautiful. And so let's break that down and try to figure this out. What would this tell us about Christ? What would this tell us about how to glorify God in this? How would this tell us about how do we reach out to an unchurched world? Let your beauty not be something that's external. Have you ever gone to a fellowship and they say, you know, bring a white elephant gift? Have you ever gone to any of those? I have, and of course, I always pick out the most beautiful baggage. It's usually the most horrifying thing in that package you can ever imagine. No one would want it. That's the reason why they put it in there. Instead of throwing it away, they wrapped it in a gorgeous. You know what you do with those? You take them home, put them in your closet. Now you're ready for the next party that wants to bring a white elephant gift. That's what you do with them. You're not going to use them. You just get ready for the next party. And he's saying here, there's a lot more to beauty than the package. Now, there's nothing wrong with the package. And most all of us need a little bit of work done on the package. When you get up in the morning, you know, the package looks like it has been tramped on, right? You look in the mirror and, oh, my Lord, what would I do with this, you know? And we say, help it out. So he's not saying don't spend some time there. We're grateful that all of you spend some time in there. The mirror is a great announcement to you. You got work to do, you know, and you do that, you know. And so here he said, no, the thing is that it's a beauty that's within the heart. Ultimately, that is seen. Ultimately, what is in the heart comes out. That let your adornment be of the heart. Be of the heart, an imperishable beauty, one that does not fizzle when you get older, but you continue on. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you beautiful? Second question. Do you feel like a beautiful person? Another question. What makes you beautiful? What makes a person beautiful? And what Peter's saying here is, it's more than the package, but it's down inside. So describe for me, for just a moment, if you write down a description of beautiful. The amazing thing I've found, that I've run onto people, and you may be one of them, that I think they look great, but they don't feel beautiful at all. Would that be you? And then a lot of times when you don't feel that way on the inside, then you really try to ramp it up on the outside. But it's still not beautiful on the inside. You know that, and God knows that. The marvelous thing is that God wants to make you beautiful. Now, what is that? Now, just very briefly here, it doesn't go into a whole lot of this, but he uses two words to describe beautiful. So, some of you came in ugly this morning. We want you to go out beautiful. You know who you are. Most everybody else knows who you are, whether you think they do or not. So I want you to leave here beautiful. Two words he describes here. One is gentle. Gentle. Now, what's the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of gentle? Do you think of somebody that's a whippy? What does it mean to be gentle? Sometimes it's translated even as meek. Well, that doesn't sound very powerful either, does it? You know, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Ooh. So what does it mean to be? It's the same Greek word in the New Testament, meek or gentle. What does that mean? It really means power under control. It does not, meek does not mean weak. Gentle means power under control. And they would have understood that as taking a stallion, powerful, mighty stallion that had never been broken to ride, and it is brought under control, all of that power under control. We might know it today like drugs. Drugs under control is a wonderful thing. Out of control, it is a menace in our society. But power under control. So, if we're going to be like Christ, Christ had the power to call 10,000 angels to deliver him to the cross. He submitted to it. So if we're going to be like Christ, it is that we will be gentle. It means a power under control. The power of what? The power of your emotions. The power of your spending habits. The power of the decisions you make. The power of your thinking and your thoughts. Huge one. Huge one. To be in control, the control. Only God's grace can help you with that. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. When you allow God's Spirit to work in you, He'll make you beautiful. He longs to make you beautiful. God is beautiful. He created a beautiful world. Sin is what's messed it up, but He created a beautiful world. God reaches out to touch and make beautiful, and He wants to do that in your life right now. And that's only by His grace. And there's something about this beauty that will win the world. You've seen people, and there just says something about them that is beauty. And it's very influential. And he uses another word besides gentle, and that word is quiet spirit. What does that mean? Well, you used to get in a corner and shut up and not say anything. What does it mean to be of quiet spirit? One is to mean tranquility on the inside. If we open up your heart, would we find tranquility? Would we open that up and find a peaceful confidence of a quiet spirit that is quite confident, an inner peace, a confident that stands your ground above your convictions doesn't mean that you throw in the towel on your convictions. It means that you're very comfortable with who you are. You've heard it said, they're real comfortable in their skin. Coming to the place that there's something inside of you at peace with who you are, because Christ has come in to make you new. His Holy Spirit is working to make you new and beautiful every day. So I'm going to ask you again. Let's try it again. Do you feel like you're a beautiful person? Second, what does that look like? What does it look like to be a beautiful person? Here again, the wives, he says, that unbelieving husband will be won, not because you work on the package, but please go ahead and do that. Not because you work on the package, because the beauty that's inside of you. It's the way that you'll make a tremendous influence wherever you work. You walk in to work in the morning, and you walk in as a beautiful person. It's amazing the impact that'll make in your work. It's amazing what that'll do in your whole family when you begin to have that kind of inner peace. So how beautiful are you today? Beauty? You came in ugly today, and we want to send you out beautiful today. Okay, now let's turn the corner. Number three, the third observation is, husbands, be understanding. It says here, likewise, husbands, love your wives in an understanding way. Do you understand your wife? Do you understand your kids? Do you understand your people at work? Anywhere. If you want to be like Christ, you're going to begin to understand the hurts, the makeup, the strengths. One of the things that sometimes I do, not always, but sometimes I'm doing a wedding and I'm meeting with a couple. Sometimes I'll give them a temperance analysis, and that's what's sort of called a personality evaluation. And it's kind of fun to do as they look at, and we put it on a chart of the profile of one person and the profile of another person. But the interesting thing is the one we do, is it will allow you to see how the other person sees you. And sometimes they're way apart. In other words, they don't understand that person. Now, in personality, please don't think that you're going to get married and change that personality of that person. It ain't going to happen. They came into that world, that personality, and they're going to go out of this world, that personality. And they'll change a lot of other things, but it's stamped on them. It's a unique thing. If they're a sort of a dominant or a submissive, or if they're an extrovert or an introvert, whatever, you're not going to change that. So how do you work together an understanding? An understanding. Do you think I am an extrovert or an introvert? Do you think my wife is an extrovert or introvert? Do you think we understood that when we were first married? Do you think we're still learning that today? Yeah. But that doesn't change, you know, to understand one another. Understand the values. Understand their love language. Do you know their love language? Do you ever read the book, The Five Love Languages? Do you understand your mate or your children's love language? And the way you express love to them? Maybe you've been missing the target all along because you're trying to do something that doesn't express love to them at all. That's part of understanding. Understanding values. What's really important to them? This can change. Personality and values can change along the way. I had one of my very first secretaries, years and years and years ago, her name was Charlene, which made it very interesting because my wife's name is Charlene too. She would laugh and say, you know, I talked to her about Stanley, her husband, and said, she'd tell me how they came together. And she said, the thing I was so impressed about Stanley when we met is he had wavy hair that's just beautiful. And he drove a sports car. And they'd been married many years at that point. She laughed. She said, "You know, the hair came out and the sports car wore out. And so now what do we got, you know?" There has to be something that binds us together, and values is it. And here again, are you a saver or a throwawayer? What's your values there? Now, here's the point, is that the better we understand the values of that other person, it will protect us in a tremendous way. It protects us, but we have to know and understand one another. Number four is show honor. Another way to say that is respect. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. How do you do that? What does it mean to honor? What does it mean to show honor? I think a better translation, and sometimes it is translated, is respect. In fact, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 7, it uses this word, respect or honor, and the way it translates it there is precious value. Precious value. See, if you have a precious value placed on something, you will respect it. There's something about respect that will protect you from saying things that you ought not say or doing things you ought not do. When there's a high price that you put on there, they're extremely valuable. And you respect them. You'll never win the world or anyone with disrespect. You'll never win anything with disrespect. When you go into work and their values are a lot different than yours, they say things that are terrible, and you're not going to win them with disrespect. I worked for a produce company while I was in college. It was sort of I don't know where I learned most, in college or the produce company. I was introduced to a whole nother vocabulary. And rough guys. I mean, they were rough guys. And I soon in working found out most of them were putting on a rough front. Remember one guy, his name was Dale. And he was obnoxious. He had a dirty, filthy mouth. And he would say, and I remember one time over lunch, I tried the best that I could to really respect these guys, not try to put them down, not say, "Oh, you know, that's a terrible, dirty mouth," you know. I tried to respect them as a person. I remember at lunch, Dale and I, and one of us around, we were sitting on a big pallet of bag of potatoes, eating lunch. And I was amazed. He began just to pour out his heart as I listened. So I learned that day this: one great way to show respect is listen. Listen. And he just began to tell me all of what was going on in his life. My heart went out to him. I don't think he'd ever done that if I hadn't just listened with respect. What I also found interesting, as soon as we got off those potatoes and lunch break was over, he went out and started cussing and raising Cain, doing all kinds of just terrible things, changed a moment like that, and put on that hard, calloused front on the inside. But I already had seen on the inside. There's something about this honor or respect that is powerful. It is powerful. Do you respect your kids? Kids, do you respect your parents? How do you do that? What does that mean? I've told you before, I had a great respect for my parents. A lot of it is because they really respected me. And it had a way of, I would never want to do anything. It would protect me from doing stupid things. Not 100%, but most of the time. Because of my respect for them. When you respect, highly respect your wife, it'll protect you from doing dumb things, destructive things. When you highly respect those people at work, they can be very mean, can't they? The workplace is not fair. But you can show respect. You won't agree. You won't agree. But you can show respect. One last one. Guys, hang on to your hat on this one. It says, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. That just means she's not quite as strong as general rule. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of God and the grace of life. What's this last phrase? So that your prayers may not be hindered. Anybody have trouble understanding that one? It could be translated, I guess, this way. No respect for wife, no prayers being answered. You can forget it. The Bible is clear about that throughout. Psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what does he say? The Lord will not hear me. Any kind of relationships you need to straighten out? Anything that's hindering your prayers? Oh, you may be voicing a lot of things to God, but how's that going? Are you beautiful? I want to send you out as beautiful, beautiful people this morning. Beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When I was doing this week, I thought about an old hymn, Nothing Between. Look at it. I want you to just read it with me. Let's read it together. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Nothing between my soul that no one else may see, and my Savior. I love this. So that His blessed face may be seen. When people look at you, do they see the beauty of Jesus there? Just beaming out of you. So that the blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. I want God's favor on my life. Don't you? I don't want anything preventing God's favor in my life. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Anything you need to clear up? Don't worry about the pimples on your face. Worry about the cleaning up that you need to do down inside of your heart. And that will make the beauty of Jesus. So what did we learn? We learned a little bit about the character of God. And we learned a little bit about how to be more like Christ. We learn how to submit. And we learn in a way that will make a difference and impact on people around us as we work at the relationship even of husbands and wives. It has a lesson for us all. One last time. Are you a beautiful person? Most all of us already know it's time for you to catch on. Do we not?